morning, Cascadia. You're listening to your community radio station, KBOO Portland, Oregon, 90.7 FM. Today is Tuesday, January 27th, 2009, and this is Air Cascadia, a whole half hour of headlines and commentary in less than 10 minutes. I'm Chris Andre.
And I'm Liam Delta.
Michelle Dahm of Code Pink Corvallis announces a fast to death to bring the National Guard home.
Meet the new boss, almost the same as the old boss, the new head of the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, John Wellingham, may be more willing to hear what Cascadians have to say.
And Barack Obama changes the rules on emission standards.
Portland area weather, it just quit snowing downtown, but expect rain later in the day with areas of sleet and freezing rain and highs around 40, and then tonight mostly cloudy with showers and lows in the 30s.
First, we go to regional news, and this morning, Dan Sears is with us again to talk about a move that has been eagerly anticipated by LNG opponents. Barack Obama has named John Wellinghoff acting chairman of the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. And that's, of course, a five-member board that oversees the LNG permitting process. This, of course, is going to have some consequences for the decisions regarding Bradwood Landing. Good morning, Dan. Can you talk about this a bit?
Good morning, Chris. Absolutely. We see this as a step in the right direction in terms of the FERC commission. The five-member commission still has three members on it who voted in favor of Bradwood, but two of those are expected to step down soon. Which raises the possibility that if this ever comes before the commission again, we may see a different result. And that's what we're hoping for from FERC from now on.
What about the Kelleher it was that just stepped down? Isn't he somewhat still in charge until 2010, I believe?
He's expected to resign from the commission altogether. He hasn't done so yet, but he has stepped down as chair and will likely leave the commission entirely, which makes it possible for the FERC Commission to change significantly. Other than just seeing a new chair, maybe we'll see really a different direction from the Commission as a whole.
This is great news. This is great news. And now is the time, of course, to keep writing to the governor and to your elected representatives, as I know that you've all been doing, and keep their attention focused on stopping this LNG scam from going through. Liam, what else have you got there? Thank you so much, Dan.
Well, this is kind of related. We heard this before. A plan to build a 298-mile-long power transmission corridor across eastern Oregon to Idaho, and it's rankling local residents who say it'll spoil spectacular views and lacerate prime onion-growing territory. But an Idaho power company official says the utility's proposed project, nicknamed the Big Extension Cord, is needed to meet growing demand. So you replace power transmission corridor with LNG and Idaho with California, and there we are.
Yeah. Meet the new boss, the same as the old boss. The man suspected of shooting 9 people and himself outside a Portland night spot left a note in which he bequeathed his car and his PlayStation 3 to a roommate, said he was sorry. That was it. That's all he'd accomplished in life and all he left behind, a car and a video game. If that doesn't tell you right there what's wrong with our culture and I quote, why they hate us, then we're just not paying attention. It lends a whole new meaning to dying of consumption.
Mm-hmm. The Navy's considering testing whether tidal energy could be used to produce electricity for its base at Indian Island near Port Townsend, Washington. The one-year pilot project would involve submerging 2 to 6 turbines next year off Marrowstone Island, southeast of Port Townsend. So is there anything the Navy has not done to kill the Puget Sound? Sonar has done in the orcas. Bilge water has poisoned marine life. Depleted uranium is killing the aforementioned and polishing off humans who brave the fetid waters. And now this, gigantic blenders churning out fish smoothies.
But, Liam, that's progress. Why do you want to stand in the way of progress?
Yeah,
we need
can't
energy.
Go backwards.
Barr's product supply warehouse, a company is going to immediately close 2 mills in southwestern Washington due to weak market conditions. And weak market conditions are caused by companies like Weyerhaeuser killing off jobs. Care to place a bet on the size of the bonuses that the Weyerhaeuser executives are going to get as a reward for another terrible decision?
Yeah, well, there's a new Lockheed Martin contract with the Department of Energy that's valued up to $5 billion, and that could bring work to the Tri-City area. The 11-year contract covers work to help the federal government reduce its energy costs and environmental impacts. But as one of 16 companies given the contracts worth up to a total of $80 billion, it's up to Lockheed Martin to find federal agencies to sign up for the work.
On January 22nd of this year, Michelle Dorr, Corvallis mother of six, commenced a second hunger strike in addition to the 24-hour vigil that she and members of Camp Homebound have maintained on the steps of the Oregon State Capitol building in Salem. They've been out there ever since November through some of the worst winter weather Cascadia has seen in a long time. In an all-out effort to pass legislation giving the governor authority to block this spring's deployment of the National Guard, DARP has decided to fast unto death as a means of generating the support necessary to garner sponsors for a proposed bill in the state legislature and to engage Oregonians in the struggle to protect the troops and keep them in Oregon where they belong. We're going to have a lot of levees breaking, culverts overflowing, a lot of water this spring, and we're going to need the National Guard here doing what they're supposed to do. We'd hope to have Michelle with us today, but we're not able to reach her. Later this week, we'll try and speak with her. She's a very brave woman, and we all commend her for taking really an ultimate step in stopping all this mayhem.
Manfred Nowak is the United Nations Special Rapporteur on Torture. He told CNN that the U.S. has an obligation to investigate whether Bush administration officials ordered torture. He added that he believes there's enough evidence already to prosecute former Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld.
Oh, I love these legal waters. Invoking President Barack Obama, House Judiciary Committee Chairman John Conyers, Democrat of Michigan, has subpoenaed former Bush Deputy Chief of Staff Karl Rove about his alleged involvement in the political prosecution of an Alabama governor and, of course, the firings of the nine U.S. attorneys.
The U.N.'s Crime and Drug Watchdog has indications that money made in illicit drug trade has been used to keep banks afloat in the global financial crisis. Vienna-based UNODC Executive Director Antonio Maria Costa said that drug money often became the only available capital when the crisis spiraled out of control last year. Thank God for drugs.
Drugs saved the day again. That's wonderful news. In fact, actually, if we had, if our culture were Muslim, we wouldn't be in this financial mess in the first place, because in Islam you're not allowed to charge interest on loans. So there you have that. And now Spencer Raymond is back with us this morning. Spencer will try and be with us later on, though it's pretty much as late as it's going to get in this edition of Air Cascadia. We're in the middle right now of membership drive, our winter mini membership drive for 2009. And you know that number to call, 503-232-8818. You can also get there toll-free at 877-500-5266. It is really critical that you call those numbers right now. Once again, 503-232-8818. And now we have Spencer. You see, the magic number. Good morning, Spencer. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning, Chris.
So, with Barack Obama's tighten up legislation on emission standards, and also he's going to lift the ban on states like California setting their own emission standards. Here's the strange part. Well, that was pretty strange, but it gets stranger. The automobile industry is apparently okay with this. How do you explain that?
Well, it's interesting because What these emission standards do, and it should be pointed out that all Obama has done is basically requested a reevaluation of the EPA decision that originally prevented the California emission standards from going into effect. Obama, all he's doing is asking for them to reconsider them. In all likelihood, that is what's going to happen, and that the EPA will allow those California emission standards to go forward and bring it up on a national scale, like Obama would like to have happen. But what we need to remember is that means these automakers have to change the kind of cars that they make, the kind of cars that they are selling. And they may say that they are you know, supportive of this and that they have the production means to do something like this. But you have to remember, they have to change a lot of their lines. They're going to have to be changing their vehicles. And on the surface, they may be okay with it, but the bottom line is, at least for the American automakers, these standards are not what most of their fleet is.
It's not like they didn't have enough time or they didn't see this coming either. So this will make a difference. What have you ever, care to speculate on any other states that are going to follow the lead of California, which will very likely raise the emissions standard?
Yeah, Chris, I mean, generally speaking, it's going to be your blue states, the West Coast and the East Coast. And when we talk about emission standards, when we talk about environmental protection kind of as an overall theme for the Obama administration for new proposed policies, it's going to be those blue states. It's going to be the coastal, I don't want to say more sophisticated, but definitely the more technological advanced states that have the wherewithal and they have the lawmakers, especially on Capitol Hill, who are supportive of this. I mean, if you talk to manufacturing and farming states in the Midwest, you know, they are not as keen on these environmental restrictions because of the jobs in manufacturing, because of farming. Their infrastructure, their jobs are much more affected by environmental control standards than states on either coast, which don't have as much manufacturing and jobs affected by that.
Thank you so much, Spencer. Of course, that was KBOO's Spencer Raymond, bringing us DC Dirt. Thanks very much for that, Spencer. Liam, I believe you got one final.
Yeah, final note. President Barack Obama chose the Arabic satellite TV network Al Arabiya for his first formal television interview as president. It's part of a concerted effort to repair relationships with the Muslim world that were damaged under the previous administration. This has been Headlines and Commentary from Air Cascadia for Tuesday, January 27th, 2009. Today's editor is Chris Andre. Engineering is Janet Anderson. The KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director is Kathleen Stevenson. I'm Liam Delta.
And I'm Chris Andre. You're listening to member-supported KBOO Portland, your community radio station at 90.7 FM. Your support, and your support only, keeps us subverting the dominant paradigm, and it means more right now than it ever did. Thank you so much, members.
Coming up next, Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. More from Gaza on the aftermath of the Israeli invasion. Flashpoints was recorded last night.
Thanks for listening and have a good day. And you can start off having a good day by calling 503-232-8818 or toll-free 1-877-500-5266. Your support means everything to this radio station, and we thank you so much.
Thank you, Chris and Liam. Yes, we are in the midst of our 1 week spring